Okay, so today we're going to continue with tissues. It's super bright in here. We're going to be doing connective tissue today. We did epithelial tissue last time. I'm going to try and have this be a shorter lesson because I do. Hey, focus. I'm talking. Nyla Brownlee. Forever, that's on the podcast. Next year's podcast has that Nyla Brownlee. Was not paying attention. All right.
I was awake though.
You know what? She was awake because she was talking. In any event, I have a Quizlet that covers half of the lab exam. I haven't. Yeah, well, yeah. Huh?
You said there's a thing last time. I think I saw it. It said something Quizlet.
I don't know. Not this one. I haven't, because I made this one this for the exam, yes. Like lecture exam. This one is, you know, for lab exam, we're going to do the review in class. I think it's pretty good covering the first half of the exam. Second half of the exam, hopefully we'll get to on Thursday. But it was getting kind of long. You guys probably weren't going to get to everything if I kept adding into one. So anyway, so connective tissue. Blah blah. Connective tissues. So the epithelial tissue was on the outside. The connective tissue does exactly what it sounds like it does. It connects things. Okay. So the function of connective tissue is to bind the organs, our tendons and ligaments. Tendons are going to bind structures to muscle or bone to muscle. Ligaments are going to bind muscle to muscle. The function of the ligaments is going to be like to hold together. Tendons is going to be for movement. So, like, you can move your eyes because your tendons are hooked to your eyeballs and then the muscles so that you can move them. Your ACL and PCL, so anterior cruciating ligament, it's holding your knee, they crisscross to hold your kneecaps and everything together, okay, so that it doesn't just, so that you can have your ligaments or your tendons that are running around here so you can move, but the tendons are holding it structurally together, okay? Support your bones and your cartilage. That's for support. Here's some cartilage. It gives you structure, your nose, your ears. Of course, your bones give you all your structure. Physical protection, so your cranium, that's bone. These are all bones. Your cranium, ribs, and sternum are all there for protection. Your sternum is protecting your heart, ribs protecting heart and organs, your cranium protecting your brain. Immune protection, so your white blood cells. Blood is a connective tissue, so it has your white blood cells. Movement, physical movement, and then movement of materials too. So transport, which is going to be your blood. Storage, you have fat, calcium, and phosphorus stored in the bones. Heat production. So that's going to be your adipose and things like that. So your brown fat cells and your yellow fat cells. Also, your muscles help produce heat. So. Plus, transport, the blood is going to move the heat around. So. Okay, any questions about those? Like, that's just the functions. Nope, don't have any notes. All right. Much like epithelial tissues, there are quite a few different types of cells that are connective tissue cells. And like epithelial, there's different classes. So we had the stratified, the simple epithelial. We're going to have fibrous. It's a type of connective tissue. So we're going to have loose and dense, and then we'll have fibrous within the loose. Okay, so the types of cells that we find in the fibrous connective tissue. So that's one type of connective tissue. Okay, it has six different types of cells that you find in that class. So we have fibroblasts, macrophages, leukocytes, plasma cells, mast cells, and adipocytes. Three of these are going to go together. These three, Macrophages, leukocytes, and plasma cells, these are all a part of your immune system, and they're going to be found mostly in the blood. Okay? So these are going to come from lymphocytes, which are going to be part of the lymph system, which is part, well, it works closely with the immune system. Okay? Fibroblasts, they make the ground substance. So the ground substance we covered in lab, that's going to be the liquid medium of the body. Okay? So it's the filler, but it's liquid. Okay? So cells aren't going to fill up every single space in the body. So what needs to fill the rest of the space is the liquid medium for things to move through, and that's ground substance. Our fibroblasts are going to produce that. They're going to also produce fibers that our cells are going to be able to latch onto to anchor themselves in place. Okay? Macrophages, they're going to go and they're going to eat foreign materials. So bacteria gets in the body, phagocytes it. It eats it, pulls it in, destroys it. Okay? It's part of your immune system. And they come from monocytes. We'll talk about monocytes. Well, you'll learn about monocytes next year, next semester. Leukocytes, that's our white blood cells. There's a lot of different types of white blood cells. Neutrophils are some of them. Lymphocytes are some of them. Plasma cells, they're going to make our antibodies. They're found in the blood. Mast cells, mast cells, they do a lot of stuff. The histamine production is one of them, which is a lot of times a negative thing that happens. A lot of our allergies are results of mast cells not doing what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do them, so they produce histamine when they're not supposed to. And then you're like, oh, pollen. Now you have, that's why you take antihistamines to get the inflammation down, because they produce too much histamine, and then you're all inflamed and your nose is all stuffy. And so that's, you know, them not doing what they're supposed to do. And adipocytes, they are going to store fat. So those are quote unquote your fat cells. That's the ones that have like all the big space in it. Remember when we looked under the microscope, they had they looked a lot like the simple squamous, except that they weren't single rows of cells. So it has a lot of place to store that fat that we just need so much. Yeah, we do need it that much. It's an insulation and it, you know, protection. All right, so fiber is connective tissue. Three different types of fibers that we have: collagenous, reticular, and elastic fibers. Collagenous fibers, that's going to be 25% of the body's protein makeup. So it is the most abundant. That shows up on your test. Not your lab test, but your lecture test. Just throwing that out there. So if I ask you, what is the most abundant, what is it called? Oh, come on, cartilage, or the most abundant connective tissue, or the most abundant collagen, most abundant protein, collagen, okay? It's a collagenous fiber. This is the one that I, just working it through.
Yeah, it's collagen, like,
deep, but that's your tendons and your ligaments. So you have tons of tendons, you have tons of ligaments. It's tough, it's resistant to tensile stress. So you know, you can't just like pop it, which is good because you don't want to be running. And then, I mean, a lot of people have, and they pop their ACL. That's, and then your knee doesn't work. You just can't, like, you can't do this motion without your ACL. So you're just like, you can't do that. Mine's stretched out. So check this out. Someone might have to help me back up because I am old. So this is normal. Now, your ACL and your PCL and the ligaments that are in this, so they crisscross and they keep your knee in the vertical correctly. Okay? You're supposed to be able to go back, but not forward. So this is normal. This is stretched out. So I had a soccer injury when my senior year. I was running. I was center forward. I was running to shoot a goal, and my leg stopped working, and I went down. I heard a little noise, and I went down. Coach asked, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm good. I got this." I stood up, and my leg did not work.
You
And I went
sound
back down,
sick.
and I'm like, "Not okay." So they had to walk me off the field. Unfortunately, I did have a scout out there because I was supposed to go to Baylor on a full scholarship. But they take away those academic scholarships real quick. So I stretched out my ACL and the ligaments, the ligaments that run across here, they're stretched out. So I went through a lot of therapy so that I could walk normal again. I still have issues running. It's a cool little party trick. You can lift your leg up backwards. It probably goes up further, but I can't get to it as well as I used to. I can't get over there and pull it up. So anyway, they're flexible, but they're not supposed to be that flexible. Man, I'm out of shape. I am winded. I am out of shape. Give me a second here. Oh. Right. Jesus. Okay, reticular fibers, they're going to be found in the spleen and the lymph nodes. The lymph nodes, we talked about those, right? When I talked about the lymphatic system in the, like when I talked about systems, like I showed where those were, right? You probably don't remember, but you have a vast network of them in this area, the axillary, in the mammary area, in the iliac region. So, it's like they're just, the doctor checks your here when you're sick. It's because they're feeling for lymph nodes. It's not okay for the doctor to be like, "Let me feel your lymph nodes." So that's not okay. So they check in the neck. I guess it is okay for the doctor to do that because they do touch you in places that you're not normally touched. I can't complain. Guys have it pretty bad too, so not as bad as girls. We have it way worse.
By the way, getting touched. Yeah.
Just invasive stuff happens.
Hang on,
Dr.
what was that one?
Papadopoulos did the Pap smear. I mean, I understand the purpose
You got
behind
a
the Pap
man back
smear. I have a female right now, but I don't go to her anymore, so I need to get a new doctor because she's in Grapevine, and that's kind of far to go to the gyno. Sure. But yeah, you never forget your first time.
You don't, because I was like,
It's a shock to
"Whoa,
the
what are you
system.
doing?"
He's like, "What?"
It was so unexpected. She was like,
Yeah,
"I'm
but
just out
they
of
do
breath."
have the turn the head and cough, and they have prostate exams to look forward to. And the
Oh,
prostate, the only way to access it is rectally while holding the testes. So up with two fingers and holding the testes, and then they have to cough.
you have to
Yeah,
cough.
but this,
Ooh.
ours feels less invasive, I'm sure. But they do clip a little piece of the vagina out, which is messed up. We don't have very, females don't have very many nerves in the vagina, so you can't actually feel it. When they put the metal thing in and open it up, and then they put the cotton swab, they scrape the side, and then they clip a little piece off. Well, they're checking for cervical cancer. That's why they have to get it way up there, because they have to get the thing to the cervix, because they're checking the cervix to see if the.
I'm not missing out one of
Now, see, my doctor. Elastic fibers. Anyway, they're made of elastin. So they stretch, they go back because they are elastic. And we're going to see examples of all of these. Oh, you can't change it while you're on the podcast. There we go. All right, so this is just about the ground substance. There's way too many words on these slides.
Right.
GAGs. Gags. All right, anyway, it's a gelatinous, rubbery substance. It is the liquid median of the body. It's a lot of words. Gelatinous substance? That's the liquid median of the body. Gelatinous. So, anyway, our GAGs, they're polysaccharides. They're going to make up a lot of the ground substance. So the three pieces that are made up of it are the GAGs, proteoglycans, and adhesoglycoproteins. I can't even express how difficult the words of this class are for someone who's dyslexic and having not had to, not having learned them auditory, and who has the method of, like, my coping mechanism is that I see the first and the last and all the letters there, and then I just, like, know what the word means, not necessarily how to say it, which is why I say things wrong sometimes, because I switch the letters around in here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, or I put a letter in there that doesn't belong. Yeah. So I have to really focus in on some of them, because it's a lot of letters, and they move around on me sometimes. Yeah, so I'm like focusing. I'm like proteoglycans, but that's what I do in my head. And then I'm like proteoglycans, because in my head I'm just like, okay, I see that word. I don't know how to say that word. I just remember those letters. That then that goes with this. Well, you know, whatever I learned, not this PowerPoint. I had different PowerPoints. Anyway. There's a lot of unnecessary words. Yeah, this is, I wouldn't, well, obviously I chose last year to do this, but this year I should have taken a lot of that off. Anyway, this is where, it's a cadaver hand. Yeah, and we have the skin pulled back so we can see the tendons. Cadaver is a dead person. All right, so our two major classes are loose and dense connective tissue. They are exactly what they sound like. Loose connective tissue is not going, it's going to be loose. Like, remember the ones that saw it looked like the cotton candy? And then we have the dense, so it's got a lot of them put in there together. So with the loose connective tissue, we have the areolar and the reticular. With the dense, we have the dense regular and dense irregular. Dense regular, they're going to be all lined up. Dense irregular are not going to be all lined up. Okay? So here we can see tendons. I mean, it's a hand. The skin is cut off. Like, well, they didn't. They took the skin off of the hand, but they left them on the tips of the fingers. Probably because it's harder to get it off with the nail and everything. So if you just cut it and then peel it, which is what they did, you see it's stacked up a little bit there. I don't know. I've never, like, dissected a cadaver.
I can't remember. I think this is the part is it like, I remember something that's like a three-leaf clover, and it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a, what is the areola? It's like I imagine something that has, I think it's in your books. I think it's part of science. No, because it's like three circles, and it's like, and then they have.
Aviolar.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Is that what that is?
That's not, that's areolar. Oh. Aviolar is in the lungs.
Okay, because I was like. Okay,
I was just waiting for more information with your alveolar. They're the air sacs inside of your lungs that allow gas exchange.
Okay, we're not
too there. No. Well, we talked briefly about them, but we won't do you won't do respiratory system until next semester. No. All right. So, areolar tissue. That's Why don't I have a picture of it? The one that looks like what is it? Cotton candy. That was a cotton candy one.
Oh yeah.
So, let me, because I don't have a picture of it. Where's my? There's my book. Yeah, and if I remember correctly,
And then there was another type, and then it turned into multi one. All
right, so areolar, cotton candy. There's more ground substance in loose connective tissue than there are cells. Okay, so that's going to be our distinction point between dense and connective, or dense and loose. Yeah, this is adipose. So as you can see here, we have these cells that are going through, but there's a lot more ground substance than there is cells. So that's our distinction between loose and dense connective tissue. Okay, they're going to run in random directions. You see that in there? It's just like you took pickup sticks, throw them, let them drop whatever way they went. That's how the fibers are. Okay, the purpose of this is actually to hold like underneath the skin, to hold the skin to the rest of the body. Yeah. So it's found everywhere in the body because everywhere needs to hold everything together, and that's the function of this one. So remember when we were talking about the proteins on the outside of the cell and how they reach and they hold on to things in the extracellular matrix? That's what they're holding on to. Okay? Downtime. I had too many little asides today. Gotta finish, you know, so we can do the lab.
Wait, which vitamin are we this is random. Which vitamin are you supposed to take, like, if, like, you get cramps a lot?
Potassium?
I've been getting a lot of cramps.
Ouch. Need more potassium. Eat a banana. Did you know you cannot absorb vitamin B12? But they sell vitamin B12. You can't absorb it, like, through your intestines. Yo, you need it. We make it, and you can't take a pill for that. They make them, though. B-complex and B12 is in there. For no some unknown reason, because you cannot absorb it. You have to. Oh yeah, there's tons of them. And if you need B12, you have to get injections into your bloodstream because you can't absorb it through the small intestines. Oh, there's my pictures. Oh, okay. So then I guess I should just click to the pictures and talk about it then. Here's areolar tissue, and it's got the same things but condensed and better. Anyway, there's tons and tons of blood vessels in there. You can see those in here. These are the vascular blood vessels, like this one here. Those are elastic fibers. Collagenous fibers are going to be the thick ones. The ground substance is free. The fibroblasts are the actual cells. No, that's the fibroblast. No, you don't see any blood cells in here. These are bigger than blood cells. All right. Here's reticular tissue, okay? These are found in your lymph nodes. So lymph nodes, there's a matrix in the auxiliary, matrix in the mammary glands. Well, not in the glands itself, in the mammary area. You have them in the spleen, the thymus, bone marrow. Reticular tissue is all over the place. Here's a leukocyte. That's a white blood cell. Oh, my husband's upset again. Oh, that's good.
There's no reticular tissue in our poop.
There isn't? Oh, it's not on the lab then.
Yeah, because the
one you said,
like, saying areoli.
Adipose.
fibrous.
It's not one of the ones, it's going to go under other types of cartilage, but that's not something you'll be tested on the lab test. There's things that we cover in lecture that we don't cover in lab. Everything that we cover in lab makes it to lecture, but not everything in lecture makes it to lab. Only things covered in lab are covered on the lab exams. Okay? Why are you scared of this week? Oh, that is this week. I looked at the test. It was fair. It's a fair test.
I love when teachers say it's a fair
test. It is. We covered everything. I feel like you guys are going to do better than last year did. The lab exam. It's Friday. Oh. All right. Dense regular connective tissue. You see that there's a lot more fibers than there are ground tissue. Ground substance. There we go. Ground substance.
Ground substance,
you know,
the gaps in between
actual
cells. So it's
the opposite of what the adipose tissue, it looks like that ground substance in there, but it's actually holding fat and stuff. That's the inside of the cell.
Oh, but it's not going to be visible when you look at it. It's going to look like ground. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so these are going to be densely packed. They're running parallel to each other. You can see here the little red pieces are going to be the nuclei of our fibroblasts. These are things that are going to be found in our tendons and our ligaments here. So you see we have this ligament, our tendon. That one's a tendon. Yeah, that's a tendon because it attaches your calf muscle to your heel. So that's your Achilles tendon, not ligament. Ligaments bone to bone, tendons muscle to bone, or muscle to structure. So muscle to eyeball, that's still a tendon. But typically we say muscle to bone and ligament bone to bone. Ligament's always bone to bone. Okay? This one you have in there, it looks like this, except it's gray or tan. Or how they said it on the video I watched today, tawny. I haven't heard that color in a while, tawny coat. A tawny coat. It's tan. He was British, though, so. He was talking about an impala getting chased by a cheetah. And the cheetah was having difficulty, and he said the impala was blending in with his tawny coat. I was like, wow, that's too high level for my freshman. I had to explain that. All right, it would have been nice if I would have instead said types of fibrous connective tissue five. Five of how many? That would have. It was in the last one. All right, so here is dense irregular. So. Dense regular, see it's all parallel. Dense irregular, all over the place. Okay? See the difference? All right, visually it's easy to see. This one's all swirly. These here are the nuclei of my fibroblast. In between the spaces there, that's where we have our ground substance. That's actually a duct there. Anyway, you find this in the skin, like in the integumentary system, not in the outer layer of skin that's epidermis, but in the full thing, you're going to find it in the derm layer, okay? So in the dermis. So its purpose is protection or stability. So that's an unpredictable stress, and my skin's not pulling off. Which is good. I don't want it to pull off. So this is holding it together. So it's deep in my skin. It's around the organs, which is good because you don't want to get hit over here and your stomach just fall out your leg. I mean, you wouldn't want your stomach to slip down your leg. That would be bad.
Like if you want.
Or better yet, get hit right here and your uterus fall out your vagina.
Oh, no. Today
I have some. Yes.
Yeah,
that was just
that condition where you scan, there's something yeah. missing, a part of the tissue in it where it's really, it's not resistant to like any type of, you know,
touching. So
and
she can't be touched.
Falls off. So you have to like wrap.
I have to look that up. EB?
Ew.
What does that stand for?
You something.
I don't know the acronym, I'm sure.
Okay.
I haven't heard of this disease at all.
It was bad. It was on Snapchat. They do stuff for
me. All right, I think I have a picture of this one. Nope. Yep. There we go. Adipose tissue. All right, adipose tissue. We talked about this a bit. This is for storage. It's fats. Woo! Try and stay vertical and not go horizontal. All right, so it's going to hold our fat cells, our fat storage. We have our white fat cells and our brown fat cells. White fat cells, that's going to be an adult. Brown fat cells, that's infants or juveniles, okay? So we're going to find it in fetuses, find it in infants, and in small children. White fat cells on up. So my fat cells are white. Good to know. Anyway, the purpose of it is insulation, cushioning, and storage of energy because on a gram-for-gram basis, our lipids provide us more energy than carbohydrates do. So our energy storage is in our fat, which is why if you're in a survival situation, if you have more fat layers, you're going to live longer. At least it's good for something.
It was called epidermolysis bullosa.
Let me read that.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
And basically, if she was touched or even her sleep, like her skin was just falling off.
Wow.
They
that's
no
pretty
cure
cool.
For
I mean, that's not cool, but I mean,
yeah.
that's like pretty cool to that this could happen.
Yeah, the rapper.
I will look that up and see what's
bad.
Going on with it. That's crazy.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But that was not
painful. Well, if you can't be touched, I would imagine.
Well, she's 16.
Congrats. Good for her.
They've been taking care of her, though. They have to wrap her every night. They say it takes like 2 hours to wrap her every before school, after school. And they said they didn't know she had it because she was normal when she came out. And then they said by the next day that the baby bracelets that they put on the ankle dropped off her skin. And she, like, when she walked, she had blisters on her feet.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Just like, go to my sister. That mother's painful.
Yeah. All right, cartilage. Let's talk. Hyaline cartilage. We talked about this one. Things that I want to emphasize, so inside of the lacuna here, we have the chondrocytes. Chondrocytes are cells, okay, because it does say sites. It's a cell. I don't think I made that clear in the lab that a chondrocyte is a cell, okay? So the cells found inside the lacuna are the chondrocytes, okay? Anyway, the hyaline cartilage, it's what's going to make up your nose. It's what makes up your ears. That's this cartilage, okay? It's elastic in nature. It allows free movement, but it also has some structure to it for support. It gives the shape or structural shape of things. There's no blood vessels running through hyaline cartilage. So if you cut someone's nose off, the only bleeding is going to come from the tissues around the cartilage, because it's not going to come from the epithelium, but there'll be connective tissue in between the epithelium and the hyaline cartilage that have vessels in them, and that will bleed. But other than that, no. Healing of hyaline cartilage is very slow. Okay, it's a slow heal. If you cut your epithelial tissue, it's going to heal very quickly because mitosis is very rapid in epithelial tissue. Hyaline cartilage is, mitosis is slow. Okay, so therefore healing is slow. Yep, we talked about all of that in lab. Cool, cool. Any questions on that? Holding the airways open in the trachea. If you so feel your trachea here, you can feel the bands. You feel the ridges in it. That's hyaline cartilage bands. That's what's holding your windpipe open. That's why it hurts if you swallow something that's like not extremely soft and large, because it's going down your esophagus and your esophagus has to expand, but your trachea can't because hyaline cartilage is flexible but rigid also. So it holds the shape of the trachea there, so you have to go past all those hyaline cartilage bands. And you can feel it go past it, so it kind of feels like it's scraping your esophagus, but it's actually scraping the backside of your trachea.
Wait, and I forgot. What did you say? Remember, I forgot what I asked you, but what's in the front and then what's in the back?
Trachea is in the front, esophagus is in the back. Okay. Which is why doing this when somebody is like actually... Like if they're choking in their esophagus, doing this doesn't help. But they can breathe if they're choking in their esophagus. If they're choking in their trachea, that means they breathed it in. And doing this doesn't help either because hyaline cartilage doesn't allow it to be flexible enough for you to move it. And if you do move it, you're going to break the hyaline cartilage, and that's a slow heal. That's why you do the Heimlich maneuver, because we know that the pleura is it's a cut off or shut off area. So you can change the pressure in it. So it's going to push all the air out. So it expels all the air in the lungs forcefully. And then it's going to push out of the airway. So it pushes anything out of the airway on the way out. Which is why you do the Heimlich. Because it pushes on the, you get here and you push on the diaphragm, which is the muscle that pushes the pleura. So, and it, I've inadvertently done the Heimlich maneuver once on my brother when I was 8. And he was 10. He choked on half a hot dog. He tried to swallow half a hot dog. He has a small esophagus. It doesn't expand well, so he chokes very easily. But, no, this time it went down his esophagus. I mean, down his trachea, because he was choking, like, no breathing choking. My parents had left the house. They were, they went to go vote, so it was just us at home. And he was choking, and he was about to die there. I couldn't get my arms around him to do the Heimlich maneuver. You may ask, why does an 8 or 9 year old know this? Because science. Dork. But saved his life. So I couldn't do that. So what I did was uppercutted him right here. Because I was like, right in it, and it pushed it out. And I was like, well, I got to get that area, but I couldn't get my arms around it to do it. So, and it just like this huge hot dog. Just, I was like, why would you swallow half a hot dog? He doesn't chew his food. And you would think somebody that has this issue of getting things stuck would really chew their food, but nope. She's like, I'm just going to try. I used to make fun of him because he couldn't swallow pills. He can't swallow pills. I would be like, look at me swallowing all these M&Ms. But he actually has a condition. Like his esophagus is small and doesn't stretch out like it's supposed to. So things get stuck in it. So about 2 months ago, he choked on a Subway sandwich, but not like choke, like in the airway choke. So he can still talk. It's just it's in there. It's in his esophagus, and the muscle doesn't push it down. That's when I realized that, like, when we talked about it once he, you know, like, through the whole thing, we talked about it, and I helped him with getting it out. So I was like, well, you want to put heat on it, so we put heat on it because it relaxes the muscles, and then we put something fizzy down so that it would, the bubbles would try, I don't know. Anyway, he ended up getting it out. It was a lot. Which, again, I can't understand why he would chew that much, knowing that he has a small esophagus. But anyway, we talked about the medical of it, and he really, like, he's been to the doctor, and it's small and doesn't expand like it should. So he chokes really easily, but not airway chokes, esophagus chokes. And I've never seen that, like someone choking in their esophagus. Although I guess I have seen it a lot because he does it. All right, so this is like the hyaline cartilage. This is just showing the elastic one. This is the ear and the epiglottis. So this is just, you see, it looks a lot like that one. Not quite hyaline. This one falls under the other category in your book. I think that's even the picture that they have for the other, yeah, elastic cartilage. It looks a lot like hyaline, which is why they don't do the histology of it in lab. Because that's mean, isn't it? Because I don't think you could tell the difference between the two given the microscope.
Between
the
elastic cartilage
and the hyaline cartilage.
Yeah, they do look pretty alike. Yeah. They're going to look all black.
Mm-mm. Nope. When you look at them under the microscope, they look the same. I don't understand. I don't see how. Oh. This is flexible support. It's much more flexible than hyaline. Hyaline is rigid. So. The epiglottis, that's the piece that blocks off your trachea when you swallow. So it's flexible and it moves. So, like, I don't know if that's a thing that people can do, but I can close mine off. Like, you can, like, if you pretend to swallow something but don't go through it, you can actually feel your epiglottis closing. Like you go to swallow, but don't fully swallow because then you'll just feel the swallowing. But right before you swallow, when you make your mind up to do it, you can feel your epiglottis close. So, yeah. It's a little flap that's inside because your mouth leads to your trachea and your esophagus. And the epiglottis is typically open so that you can breathe normally. But when you go to swallow, your epiglottis closes off your closes off your trachea so that your closes off your trachea so it goes down your esophagus and not into your bronchial tubes. All right, I think this is the last one. Fibrocartilage. Let me see, is that the last one? Oh, nope. Oh, yeah, there's bone and everything. Not the last one. Oh, there's more to this one. Where's the rest of it? Whoops, not that one. That one. Nope, that's it. Okay. Cancel that then. All right. Anyway, fibrocartilage. This is the one that you're going to find in between your bones. It's going to cushion the bones. So when you, like, in your joints, you have your bones gliding over other bones, you're going to have these type of cartilage in between them so that the bones don't grind on each other. Okay? In your spinal column, it's flexible enough to allow you to rotate over. There's actually hardly any movement that happens vertebrae to vertebrae. But the collective of it all allows you to bend over. So it's not elastic enough where this could just, like, you know, it's enough to where it can go, like, here to, like, there. Like, it's just a little bit of movement. But that one vertebrae's little movement with the next one's little movement with the next one allow you to repeat. But that's also with the hips, so. Although I'm not flexible, so.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
That one just looks like a bad picture, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's high power. That looks really.
And it's a lot of pink going on. Whereas this one has the pink too, but it's not so much fluorescent of it. Good thing we're not doing those too, huh? Because this looks a lot like other ones as well.
That one looks almost. It just got way more chondrocytes.
Yeah.
It looks like that the first one where it's got the simple stratus. Not stratified.
Okay. Squamous. Squamous. Yeah, you're like one layer. The one layer, multi-layer one. That's what she said. The simple squamous or simple stratified. All right, bone. Let's get through this. Let's finish this. What? I think that's the wrong person. Bone is a connective tissue. It is different than the other ones. It is rigid. That's the type of tissue that I knew. I got nothing. Osseous tissue. Anyway, it's a calcified connective tissue, meaning that it's hard. All right, it's made up of calcium, so that's where you get the, you know, calcified being the hard one. Anyway, where's the picture? Oh, this doesn't do anything. Oh, it does. What? Well, that's new. All right, anyway, so there's two different types. There's compact and spongy bone. So if I'm looking, it's easy to see this in a long bone. So if I look at the femur, stop laughing at my drawing. That's better, but whatever. Okay, so.
It really isn't. I mean, like,
boom. All right, so on the outside of it, it's the compact bone. It's like really solid. Okay, like really solid. And then on the inside, it's not quite as much. So if you've ever broken open a chicken bone. And it looks kind of meshy at the head of that's the spongy bone. That's where we're going to have our bone marrow, like a red bone marrow, and make blood. And the outside that's harder, that's the calcified or the dense or the compact bone on the outside. And it would be great if I have a picture of this because my drawing is pretty darn bad there. Like, I can see it in my head, and that's not it. So, it's this bone. Let me see. Do I have it? No, I don't have a picture of it. Anyway, this is what we see under the outside. So we have the Hevernian canal, which is called the central canal here. Canali cooli. Yeah, that's between them, the lacuna are the spaces there. And the ostion is the actual, like, whole structure of the circular thing here. Okay.
The picture of the blue.
Why?
Because it's blue.
It's not supposed to be blue? It looks like little trees.
When I think of a bone, that looks pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, this one's been dyed blue. It all depends on what color dye you dye it.
I mean, as long as we just know that how it's spaced.
Yeah, that's what it is. Talking about the spacing of it.
Well, are the spaces again? The spaces were
lacuna?
Lacuna.
Or the central canal or Hevernian canal? The big circle or the little dots?
The big circle is the big central, right?
Yeah, or the Hevernian canal, which is what we're using, the Hevernian canal. And then the smaller ones are the lacuna.
What is the lamella?
The lamella? That's a
each concentric bone plate.
So like
oh yeah, she said how each one is
the spine plate. Yeah.
Like in between.
The lamella is the osteon.
Right? Like in between.
Mm-mm. The lamella is the osteon. I just said I just called it an osteon there.
The whole thing is osteon. Oh.
Which is the lamella. Okay. Oh. I just struggled through that. I don't know. Canali cooli. Canali cooli. Canali cooli. Malakali ki makai is the thing. to say.
What's those things called? The food. That's what it sounds like. The food.
Cannoli?
Yeah. I always want to try one.
And it is circular like that. All right, the last connective tissue, and this one is very different, very different. Blood, because it is a liquid medium, it's not fibrous in any way. It's not anything that's going to be held together. It is fluid. It is the only fluid tissue. So, its purpose is to transport through the body. So we're going to transport nutrition, and we're going to transport chemicals. It also is going to house our white blood cells. Yes. We will. We have a whole blood lab. Not this semester. Next semester.
Isn't it pig blood?
Oh, it's synthetic and then dog blood.
So it's made to look
like. Well, the slides that you have are human blood. The ones you do blood typing on are synthetic, so fake blood made in the lab, so you're not dealing with real blood. And then the ones that you're going to do, like centrifuge and everything like that, that'll be dog blood from Dr. Johnson's dogs. She goes and collects blood for them, from them. Well, she gives them a treat beforehand. So she gives them a treat, and then she takes some blood. And then,
okay. I thought the blood was coming from something
dead. No, no. She has really big dogs, and she takes... Well, she takes a vial, like two vials from each one, and she gives them treats for their blood.
Sorry.
They're happy. They get treats. And they're big, so they don't care. So she probably just takes it from back here, and just, and they're okay. They're like, whatever, I got this treat. Anyway, the blood plasma is going to be the ground substance. It's a yellowy substance that has proteins and other things inside of it. My erythrocytes are my red blood cells, my leukocytes are my white blood cells, and my platelets are cell fragments that are going to float around in it that are going to play an important role in clotting. So they're going to be the parts that get, if you get cut, it's going to hook into the matrix, so they're little fragments so that they can hook on each other to make a mesh to block blood from getting out.
Positive
feedback? Yes, because it's a cascading effect that keeps getting more and more and more and more until it's done. Good. All right, so these here, my biconcave disc, these are my red blood cells. They're going to transport oxygen, carbon dioxide, and they have iron in them to make the hemoglobin. The leukocytes are going to be my white blood cells. There's going to be very few white blood cells in comparison to red blood cells. They're important in, these are neutrophils, lymphocytes, and monocytes. Those are different types of white blood cells. I think there's five or six different types of white blood cells. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Neutrophils, eosinophils, basophils, lymphocytes, and monocytes. Eosinophils, they're hard to find. They're very few. Anyway, and then here's platelets, little fragments. Okay? I think that's it. Yep. Any questions? It's a review. All right, you guys have two quizzes that are up. One of them is going to be due on Friday. The other one's due next